Let's turn our Bibles, please, to Psalm 90. We're going to take time and read the psalm together, and then we'll just pray once more. Psalm 90. This is God's Word. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou returnest man to destruction, and sayest, return ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labour and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Let's pray. Our Father, we still ourselves in your presence. And our Father, we are ever thankful for your word. We thank you, Father, for its inerrancy. We thank you, Father, for its completeness. And Father, we thank you that it is your word to our hearts. Father, we pray that you'll remove all distractions from our minds, and that, Father, that we will focus upon you and what you have to say to us. Father, we pray that the Spirit would be convicting, would be challenging, and would be drawing men and women to the Savior. We thank you, our Father, for the wonderful message that we have to tell. And so, our Father, we pray that everything we do and say and sing will be done alone to your glory, because you alone are worthy. And we ask these things in your precious name. Amen. There's a great book that I have in my study at home. I brought it with me, actually. I picked it up on the way out. It's by John Piper, and it's called Don't Waste Your Life. I'm not sure if you've read this book or not. I'm not sure if you're a John Piper fan or not, but I can wholly recommend that you take time and you read this book. John Piper, Don't Waste Your Life. There are two of my all-time favourite quotes found in this book. The first one John Piper is known for. You'll find it on his website and many different documents that he has. And he says that he is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. In other words, as God's people, we glorify God the most when we continually realise that our satisfaction comes from God and not from the things of the world. But he has one other quote which I think is unique to this book. I'm going to put it on the screen for you so you can read it. And it's this: desire that your life count for something great. Long for your life to have eternal significance. Don't coast through life without a passion. It's that middle part that I really, really enjoy. Long for your life to have eternal significance. I wonder if I was to ask you the question tonight, are you wasting your life? I wonder what you would say to me. If I was to ask you, are you wasting your life, what would your answer be? John Piper's answer to you tonight would be, don't waste your life. Make sure that you long for eternal significance. Or let's flip the question. If I was to ask you, do you think that you're living your life successfully? If you could stop where you are right now and press pause, and then do the rewind button over the past 10 years. And if you were to watch the last 10 years of your life on the screen, would you say that you have wasted those years? Would you say that you're wasting your life? The question I think that Psalm 90 brings us to together is, am I wasting my life? Life is short, we know that. But imagine if you got to the end of your life when you realized that you'd wasted it. Imagine if you thought right now as you're sitting here tonight, you know what? I'm wasting my life. You could work every hour that is humanly possible. You could save every penny that you get from your work. You could keep it in the bank account and don't spend a pound. Working every hour you have, then your health deteriorates and your money can't fix your health. And so you've wasted all your life working, missing out on life events, social events, family events, just to work, just to save money. And then in reality, you lose it all. And the Bible teaches that very clearly. We thought about that this morning at the table. For what should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? I ask you tonight, what good would it do you? This is what this verse is saying. What good would it do you if you had everything that this world had to offer? Everything. And yet in reality, you lost your own soul because you wasted your life. You could spend your life trying to please everybody. And in essence, you please nobody. You don't even please yourself. What a waste. Anything that you choose, or almost anything you choose to put your hopes and your efforts into, can be brought to nothing through the great common leveler known to man, and that is death. Because George Bernard Shaw rightly puts about death, the statistics on death are quite impressive. 1 out of 1 die. We avoid thinking about death in our culture. We don't like it. We brush it aside. We laugh it off. We change the subject. But you can't change the subject any longer. Everyone that you know and yourself, you will all die. And I want you to think about that tonight. And I want you to answer this question. Am I wasting my life? Are you truly wasting your life as you're here tonight? Rico Tice, the co-founder, the co-author of Christianity Explored, he's also a minister in London. I think his church is All Souls. Just don't quote me on that. I think it is. When talking about failure, he says this: failure is being successful at things that don't matter. And I think that's a great quote. Because I wonder tonight, are you being successful at things that don't matter? And therefore you're failing because you're wasting your life. Keep that in your mind tonight. Are you being successful at things that don't matter? When they come to Psalm 90, it's the only psalm written by Moses. It's the oldest psalm, therefore. And I believe it was written in the connection with Israel's disobedience in Canaan in Numbers 13 and 14. And you can go back to Numbers 13 and 14 and how Joshua and Caleb were the only people who trusted in God and who followed after Moses. Instead of entering into Canaan by faith, they decided, no, we're going to turn back and we're going to go against God, and therefore God judged them. God made the nation of Israel to wander for 40 years. Until everyone over the age of 20 died. And so Moses writes this psalm as his personal reaction to the crisis that's in front of him. Moses says in verse 1 that God is his dwelling place. Even though Israel wandered for 40 years, Moses still says that God is his dwelling place. And years later in Deuteronomy 33, Moses would write, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." Moses saw many people die. He was a man who was surrounded by death. And he writes this psalm after seeing many people die. And he writes this psalm, I believe, with this thought in his mind: am I wasting my life? There are two parts to this psalm. They stand in contrast to each other. And I'm going to just point out these two parts to you very briefly. Verses 3 to 11, we see that our lives are short. Just the middle part of the psalm. When Moses says in verse 3, "Thou turnest man to destruction," he's going back to the Garden of Eden whenever God brought the curse.
And then Moses in verse 4, he refers to 1,000 years. Because in Genesis 7, whenever God brought the flood, that was the lifespan of man. It was 1,000 years. I wonder tonight, would you like to live to 1,000 years old? Grundy Cameron, a man that many of you know and will love, and a man that we all miss here in this fellowship, he often said to me, "Son, never grow old." I don't think I would like to live to 1,000 years old. Yet even if we did today live to 1,000 years old, it would be nothing compared to God. Because our lives are short. Look at verse 4. "For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past as a watch, when it is past as a watch in the night." Moses is saying here, even if we live to 1,000 years old, it's just like a watch in the night that passes almost instantly when we go to bed to sleep. You know what it's like during the day? It's quite, maybe you're watching the clock during the day and the days is long, but then whenever you go to bed to sleep, you're waking up in the morning having after 5, 6, 7 hours sleep, and it just passes like an instant. Moses says 1,000 years in God's sight is just like a watch in the night that passes almost instantly, just like we sleep. Proving how our lives, whenever we won't even live to 1,000 years old, are even shorter than that. If you get 8 hours sleep a night, which would be great, and you're 50 years old, I've done the maths that whenever we break down this 1,000 years to 50 years, which is a 20th, and 8 hours sleep, it's just like 24 minutes in God's sight. Think about all the events that have happened in the past 1,000 years. Bundle them all together, and to God, they're just a watch in the night. 1,024, what the first paper printed money in China. China always gets things first. 1066, the Battle of Hastings, the 100-year war, which ironically lasted 116 years between England and France. In 1492, Christopher Columbus discovered America. 1665 brought the Great Plague. 1835 was the first year that Christmas was seen as a national holiday. 1876, Alexander Graham Bell invented the telephone. World War I, World War II. The year I was born, 1989, the Berlin Wall came down, signifying that communism had lost its grip upon Europe. Add all these major events in worldwide history and many more, bundle them all together, and to God, what are they? Just like a watch that passes in the night. Just so briefly. Proving that our lives here on earth are short. Moses also describes our helplessness in the face of death. Verse 5. "Thou carriest them away as with a flood, there is a sleep." We are just carried away just like a flash flood carries everything with it. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. And in the evening it is cut down and withereth. Our lives are just like grass. It grows and it withers. How soon our life fades away. And this might be uncomfortable for us to think about tonight, but it's true. And we must grasp the fact that we aren't here forever. That our lives are short. Your life is short. Think about verse 10. "For the days of our years are 70 years and 10, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, what life is to some? 70 years and 10, 70 years. But what life is to all," look at the end of the verse, "it is soon cut off." Regardless of what age you live to, verse 10 of Psalm 90 reminds us that whatever age you live to, it is soon cut off. Because our lives are short. And Moses writes this as a man who was surrounded by death. And yet death is not the natural part of life's cycle. Death is a result of God's wrath upon the sin of humanity. And so therefore the reality of your death, the reality that one day you will die, ought to make you think about the reality of the sin in your life. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, after this the judgment. We have a guarantee tonight that we will all die.
And yet that should make you consider your sinful state before God. You realise tonight that your life is short. Even if you were to live to 1,000 years old, which you won't do, it's just like a watch in the night that passes instantly, just like we sleep. Our lives are short, we will one day die, which brings us up to the reality of our sin. If you don't know God as your personal Saviour, as your dwelling place, as Moses described, then your life is futile. And the answer to the question that is asked of Psalm 90 is, are you wasting your life? Well, then the answer is most definitely yes, you are wasting your life. Because you're being successful at things that don't matter. Can I encourage you, brothers and sisters, tonight, that because we have put our trust in Jesus Christ, we have been saved from the wrath of God to come. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 10, we were studying it this week in college, and wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Though we may die physically, unless Christ comes in our lifetime, we will never see the second death, which is to be separated from God for all of eternity. Because Jesus Christ hath delivered us from the wrath to come. Your life is short tonight. That's the reality. You may think because you have lived 70 years, 80 years, that it's a long time. In God's sight, your life is short. And you're wasting your life if God is not your Father, if Jesus Christ is not your Saviour. This middle part of the psalm reminds us that our lives are short. But there's this part before, verses 1 and 2, and the end part, verses 12 to 17, that this middle section is sandwiched in. It's like two bookends. That isn't the fact, doesn't remind us that our lives are short, but it reminds us the complete opposite, that even though our lives are short, but that God is eternal. Moses leaves the imagery behind of us being the shortness of our life, the brevity of our life, and reminds us that God has no beginning or ending, the complete opposite to us. Look at verse 2, whenever Moses describes God, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, Moses is going back to eternity past. Before the world was created, God, Moses says, for even from everlasting and eternity past to everlasting eternity in the future, thou art God. And the point that Moses is making here is, we have a beginning and an ending. We are born and then we die. But God is completely different because God is eternal. God has no beginning and God has no ending. Now, we can't understand this as human beings. Our minds can't take this in because we as human beings think everything must have a beginning and an ending. But God is eternal. God was there before you were born. God was there before the mountains were formed. And God will always be there. And yet what Moses wants you to see here from this psalm is that even though we are mortal, even though we are finite, even though that our lives are beginning and an ending, we can know God who is eternal as our God. Look at verse 1. Lord, God, our dwelling place. Look at verse 17, the last verse. Our God. And so Moses here is claiming God to be his God. Moses is reminding us that he is a relationship with God because God is his God. God is his Father. And that is how you have meaning and purpose in your life. Whenever you know God as your God. Whenever you can say that God is your dwelling place. Whenever you can say that God is your God. There is nothing in life that gives meaning and purpose and value than having the eternal God of heaven as your Father. Absolutely nothing.
Augustine, the great theologian and once described as one of the early church fathers in Western Christianity, said this: "Thou hast created us for thyself, O God, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee." Our hearts are discontent. Our hearts are never satisfied. Our hearts are restless until they find their rest, until they find their satisfaction and their content in God. And only God brings that satisfaction. Only God brings that contentment and peace to your lives. And I ask you tonight, is God your God? Can you say like Moses that God is your dwelling place? Is your heart restless because you're seeking satisfaction and peace and pleasure and something else in someone else? Can I say to you, there is perfect peace and perfect rest found only in Jesus Christ, and you will be discontent, you will be dissatisfied until you find your rest in God. Let me move to the end of the Psalm, verses 12 to 17. Moses here is praying for a reversal on what has gone on before. In verse 3, you see how God said to man, return to the dust. But then Moses in verse 13 is saying to God, return to forgive and to bless. Because the blessings of the world are so fleeting and fickle. You can gain popularity and wealth and it never satisfies. You can see this from the unhappiness and the emptiness of many wealthy people in the world. But God's blessings satisfy. Now none but Christ can satisfy. There's no other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy. Lord Jesus, found in thee. There has never, ever been a person who has walked on this earth, who has trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior, who has reached an old age, who has gone through many heartaches and trials, doesn't matter the number of them, and has said at the end of their life, I wish I hadn't have lived this way. I've made a mistake. I've wasted my life. No Christian has ever said that. Why? Because they have the peace and the joy and the satisfaction that only God can give. Brothers and sisters, we're satisfied people. We're people who are at peace, who are content, because Christ is all we need and Christ is all that we want. We don't need the things of this world to satisfy us. We have all our peace, all our joy, found in God as our Father and Jesus Christ as our Savior. Moses at the end of verse 17 didn't just pray that God's blessings would be upon his people, but that God would bless their work, the work of their hands. That's all their work. Not just work they do spiritually. That's all their work. Home life, work life, family life, whatever it may be. Because as God's people, when we know God as our dwelling place, all of our lives become holy. Even the mundane tasks that we do, they're all done to the glory of God because our lives take on this new significance, this new reason, because we're the children of God. And so Moses prays that God would bless the work of our hands, everything that we do in life. Are you wasting your life? Are you being successful at things that don't matter? And you're forgetting about eternity? Are you trying to find peace and joy and fill the emptiness of your life with something else that will never fill it? Because your heart is restless until it finds its rest in God. There are three practical lessons that I think we all need to take away from this psalm. The first one is this: live in the light of eternity. So teach us, verse 12, to number our days, that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. This verse clearly teaches us to number our days, to realize that our lives are short, that we're only here for a short time, and therefore we have to make sure that our lives count. We have to make sure that we don't waste our life. We have to make sure that our lives have meaning and purpose and value. Most people, when they think about life, they either look to the future or they look to the past. Young people will look to the future and the job prospects and all that life has to hold for them. And while older people will look to the past and they'll reminisce over days gone by because the future is shorter and less certain. But verse 12 teaches each of us, whether we're young or we're old, to number our days. Because life is short. Life has its limits. And since we have no guarantee about tomorrow, we can't waste any more time. We can't even waste today. You must live wisely. You have no guarantee about tomorrow, but you are guaranteed about eternity. We were thinking about that earlier. And eternity will come for us all. And therefore, we can't waste our lives any longer because we have to make sure that we are ready for eternity. And so I call upon you tonight to live in the light of eternity. That one day you will be there. And don't waste your life any longer. But make preparations for eternity. Work for the lasting, not for the passing, is the second lesson. There's so much that we do that won't remain. Of course, we need a certain amount of this world to be able to live and do whatever we need to do. But we need to realize that we need to work for what's lasting. Like Matthew 6 tells us, laying up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Surely we're not building our lives as if we're going to live here forever. Because we're not. Brothers and sisters, are we working for what is lasting? Are we building treasures in heaven? Or are we building treasures here on the earth? These verses teach us, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where's your treasure tonight, brothers and sisters? Are we working and building places as if we're going to live here forever? Or are we placing our treasure in heaven? Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. Make sure our hearts are focused on eternity. May we all be working for what is lasting, for what is eternal, but not for what will pass and what will fade away. Because as 1 John reminds us, that the world will pass away. And finally, let's avoid the waste that comes from sinful living. Verses 7 to 10 tell us how Israel was disobedient to God and they were consumed because they were sinful, they were self-willed, and God judged them. Because sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Joseph Searle Bamford, the founder of JCB, hence is the name Joseph Searle Bamford, founded and managed a very successful business. I'm sure you've seen JCB Biggers. You know what he said about success? Somebody asked him, what is true success one day? He said, success is knowing God. A man who was successful in business. A man who had everything that he could have wanted. And yet he says, success is knowing God. I ask you tonight, are you wasting your life? Are you being successful at things that don't matter? Because true success, true peace, true joy, true satisfaction comes in knowing God as your Savior. Knowing God as your Heavenly Father. And knowing God as your dwelling place. Many people live their lives, and maybe you're one of them, and they don't even think about eternity. They don't make any plans for eternity. You will one day die, and you will one day step into eternity. Are you wasting your life because you're avoiding eternity? Don't avoid the reality, the fact of eternity. But make sure you are prepared. And don't waste your life any longer. And be ready. And brothers and sisters, may we not waste our lives any longer. And may we work for what is lasting and not for what is passing.